Inspire Eugene, Episode 11.
Welcome to the Inspire Eugene podcast. Each week we showcase individuals with heartfelt and powerful messages to encourage you to take those first steps to unlock your very best work. Are you ready to get inspired? Here's your host, Brad McKinney.
Welcome to the Inspire Eugene podcast. This is Brad McKinney, your host, and I have an excellent guest today, Scott Stewart. Scott and I met through several chamber events, such as Greeters and Spin. I know we've met each other at Spin several times, and I know you're really big into Alzheimer's walk and visiting angels, but we're specifically here today to talk about your speaking gig, or what you do as a speaker. So if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your business.
Sure. You bet, Brad. Well, my name is Scott Stewart, and I'm an author, speaker, and have been given the title of inspirationalist, which, no, technically that is not a word. But a few years ago, a friend of mine said, hey, you're kind of like an inspirationalist kind of guy. And I was like, okay, that's not even a word. And he goes, no, but you should coin that phrase and use it. And I was like, So after a couple months of pondering it, I went, what a great idea, right? Everybody has to separate themselves in business.
Yeah.
You got to separate yourself from your competition. What makes you unique?
Mm-hmm.
So I took that term and coined it. But really, I've had a blog for a little over 4 years now. About 3 years ago, I was asked to write for a local paper, have a column in a local paper, which was kind of fun. And as of recently, in fact, I think it's probably still new enough that I have to leave the name out, Brad, sorry, but I was asked to write for a magazine that is specific to Oregon. So it's a national national magazine, but it's a specific on Oregon.
Okay.
And so I got asked to have a column in that. Now that hasn't been, it's either supposed to come out, I thought it was either the end of July or in August. But when that name comes out, I'm able to release it. But I've been asked not to talk about it until it comes out.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of fun and exciting, the writing thing. And I am currently writing my first book.
Awesome.
In process of.
And what's your first book going to be about?
The first book's going to be about responsibility and accountability and tying that into making your life better. So it's a bit of an inspirational piece. It's also a very thought-provoking piece.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world that, and it's not popular to talk about, but it's the reality, is everyone's entitled and nobody has to be accountable.
No.
And that is unfortunate because that's going to spell disaster down the road. And so because my whole life has been about that, I can preach on it. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So before we get into the story about how you became or started becoming a speaker and an author, I like to start things off with an inspirational quote or the quote that's most inspired you in your life.
You know, I'm a quote junkie. And because at the right time in your life, the right quote can change your direction.
Mm-hmm.
The one that probably holds true for me that I still, to this day, even years and years and years that I've been on the personal development path, probably 20 years that I've been on the personal development path, and really only applied it maybe the last 4 or 5, but is the quote from the late Jim Rohn, and that is, Jim Rohn said, the greatest value in life is not what you get, the greatest value in life is what you become.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world that sees material success and money as success,
mm-hmm.
I have to remind myself constantly, it's not about what you get, it's about who you become.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been my backbone, I guess if you will, my foundation for years, mm-hmm. is to make sure that I always focus on who it is that I am becoming.
That's awesome. I really like that quote. I think when you were saying it, the thing that popped out at me, and then I added, instead of become, I said give. You know, it's not about what you get, it's about what you give. That's what I pulled out of that quote.
Sure.
It's such a great quote. I love Jim Rohn quotes. I'm also a quote junkie.
Yeah.
I think he's on my roll. I have him on my Facebook. So I like a lot of the things that he's said. He's definitely a genius in that,
yes.
in that part of it.
Yes.
So now you're at a point where you had a blog a while and you're a speaker and an author. Can you tell us a story about what inspired you to do that?
Do I have 2 hours or 1 hour?
We've got about 30 minutes. Yeah. I'm just teasing. Can we get the Reader's Digest version?
Here's the short story is that I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and I know I'm not alone, and I'm not unique in that. There was a lot of dysfunction, a lot of dynamics, a lot of abuse, and I went through some very, very horrible things in my early 20s that very, very few people in this world ever have to experience, and I don't think anybody should ever have to. But it was from all of those tragedies that I came out the other side one day and went, I'm screwed up. This is messed up. The way I was thinking, the way I was seeing things, I was miserable inside. I had very low self-image, low self-esteem, chased after all the kind of wrong girls because I didn't know what the right girls were, and really just didn't think that I was ever worth much. And so all of my relationships suffered and failed, and I had constant problems keeping girlfriends. And one day, quite frankly, I just looked in the mirror. And just to be frank, I said, this has to change. There is something severely broken. And so there was something inside me that really said, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, other than to maybe use the God factor to say there was something else in my life that was saying, hey, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I really don't know where else that would have come from. Because that was all I knew at that point. And so it was also about that time that I had started on the personal development path, and I started listening to some of those guys, Dennis Waitley, and that was back when, also when Jack Canfield was starting to make his big climb to the top. And I started listening to all these guys, and wow, it just grabbed me, because they started saying things I'd never heard, never could imagine. Also, during that time, I started going to counseling. I had a lot of things in my head that needed to be cleared out. And so I really started a transformation in my life somewhere around the age of about 24, 25. And it was in my probably late 20s that the clarity finally, after about 22, 23 years of bad programming, bad examples that were laid before me, that my head started to clear and I started to see above the clouds, if you will, and started to realize that there's a better way to live. Mm-hmm. There's a more fulfilling, rewarding, peaceful way to live life. And so at that point, I started really diving into neck deep into the personal development and getting my head on straight and understanding what why it was that I was chasing after all the wrong things, the wrong kind of gals. And I got married shortly thereafter. And thank God married the right one, because I had many chances to marry the wrong one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, but I it came to me, Brad, I guess it was probably 6 years ago that I was in, maybe five or six, but I was in an organization, BNI, mm-hmm. Business Network International. And I realized that, oh, wow. I am way too comfortable standing up in front of people talking about things that I know. Mm-hmm. And it really was a shocker to me. I mean, it surprised myself. And that started the speaking aspect of it. It just came so naturally to me, mm-hmm. Which is kind of freaky because most people are right. Scared to death.
Yep.
Scared to death, stand up in front of people.
Absolutely.
And shortly after that started the blog. Mm-hmm. And I started getting some feedback from people like, are you writing this? Or are you just copy and pasting it right out of a book? And never, not once did I ever copy and paste anything out of a book. I would take something, process it, use my own experiences and put it down on paper and then share it with the world, I guess. And it, after that ball started rolling, it didn't take long to realize that, wow, there was a fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And a peace and an attraction that I'd never had with anything, any other job, any other business, any career, mm-hmm. anything that I'd ever tried. I'd never had quite such an attraction like I had this. Mm-hmm. And after examining it, I realized that this was probably a calling that I had just was not able to see until I got my head screwed on straight.
Yeah,
right. And so that's kind of where it came from. And then the more I started learning about becoming that person, that teacher, that mentor, and that coach, and I started listening to other people who were doing it and realized that their stories were very, very similar to mine. And then I had realized that, wow, this could really turn into something. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until last year, 2013, that I really said, okay, it's time to put the rubber to the road. Mm-hmm. I sold one of the things, one of the hobbies that I had, sold it, got rid of it, took the money, the seed money, and invested it into a speaking career, into a writing career, and hence set some goals for myself. And so 2014, I've been working now actually as a business and not just a hobby, but putting some things in place and reaching out to people and continuing to wear that professional hat and grow a career in the speaking business world.
Awesome. That's a great story because I think we can all relate to, you know, maybe not everyone relates to the same stories, but that point in our life. I know mine happened in my 20s when it was the smack upside the head that says you're no longer a young man. You need to change and then become, you know, different.
Sure, yeah.
And that, I mean, it's similar. I got started in the personal development and addicted, I think, would be a good word to listening and learning and filling my head with those things that I want to have happen and the knowledge that I want to know. So that is, it's great that you're able to now transition into starting to do it professionally.
Right.
You know, what would you say would be like the biggest challenge that you've run across in starting your speaking business?
The biggest challenge?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's no secret. I think that for anybody who's going to do something of significance, I think the biggest challenge is not outwardly, it's inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the belief that you can actually do it, the belief that you're good enough, the understanding that you do have what it takes to be able to put the rubber to the road and make it happen. Because I think to a degree, all of us deal with that self-doubt. I call it SID, self-imposed doubt. And if you can believe you can do something, and I don't care what that is, if you can believe you can do it, or at least believe that you're good enough to try it, and you're good enough to fit in the ranks with the others, man, I think you're over half of the way there, because it's the belief.
You know, I have another podcast, and in that the gentleman that is the main host of it, he talks about within the word belief, you can pull out the word lies. Right? When we look inside of our minds. And I've done it in my own life is something that I found challenging me to overcome a barrier. Just like starting this podcast, I had beliefs about why I shouldn't do it, why it's not going to work. And it wasn't until I started saying, this is a great opportunity to meet people in our community, to help people in our community. And this is my why, my vision, my goal of how this is going to work and starting to believe the new stuff.
Right.
And forget the lies. And if you can change a belief as simply as just the things that you say to yourself, then all of our beliefs are lies, I think. And that's my own personal opinion. But
there's a lot of truth to that. Mm-hmm. See, belief is if you try to set aside what is truth and what is a lie, beliefs are just beliefs.
Yep.
You can believe anything you want to believe. And if you're told something long enough, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're told something long enough, you will eventually believe it, whatever it is. Whether it's a lie, healthy, unhealthy, truth, you'll believe it. It's the way we're wired. It's the way we're programmed.
Absolutely.
So
I think when I look at a big belief that I changed in my life coming out of that, you know, young person, kind of arrogant and self-absorbed part of my life, and then coming into family guy and career-minded, going that way, I started to see that there's two things that cause friction, and that's being right and looking good. And if that's the focus of the conversations, you're always going to fall into that argument if you always have to be right or you always have to look good. You're going to have that rub. And the belief that I changed was it either works or it doesn't work. And just by the change in the verbiage, just by the change in the mentality, I started flowing through things easier when I'm looking at, does this work? No. Well, then what can I do to make it work? Rather than, does this work? Absolutely, because I'm right and I just keep going down that path. I can objectively look at it and say, nope, it doesn't work. Let's change and do something that does work. Or if I'm in a conversation and we start moving towards that argument, that's the key in my mind that says, this isn't working. We need to try something different. We need to talk differently. We need to identify that we're arguing. Something like along those lines.
Sure.
Just the change in verbiage changed the belief, which then my behavior changed, which
yeah.
I'm a huge nerd when it comes to personal behavior. Because I think that belief behavior system is kind of the fundamental foundation. Until we figure that piece out as humans, we're never going to get to the next level of personal development. That's my own opinion.
I agree, Brett. There I saw this poster, I guess, if you will, on Facebook. And this has been some time ago, but somebody said, your beliefs don't make you a good person, your behavior does.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied that for a moment. And I don't know whoever created that poster. But either they were excusing the obvious or they forgot the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that our behavior is controlled by what we believe.
Yeah.
Now we can act out of our belief system,
mm-hmm.
but only for a short period of time because we are operating in a land that we don't really know
yeah.
and it's very foreign and it doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
We always move to where it feels good. If the belief is driven, if the belief is in charge and it drives the behavior, we'll always act in a way in which we believe that ourselves to be the way we are.
Absolutely.
Always.
I think if we look at beliefs as, you know, our behavior is the end result of everything that we've really experienced.
Yes.
So our beliefs are formed by everything we're experienced. But then on a fundamental, like just a very primitive level, if you go above that, you can see your overall picture of how you want your world to go. I call it the vision and then your environment. Those two things shape your beliefs. So if your beliefs are bad, how are you going to change them? You're going to change your environment or you're going to change how you see the world.
That's right.
Like the upper echelon of my mission in life is to, I mean, some people are doctor and serve people. Some people are speaker, author. Some people are help the needy. I mean, whatever your vision is going to ultimately shape, you know, everything that comes down into that behavior.
That's right.
And that's where I really dug into the personal development side is the personal beliefs part of it. I think that is like the fundamental. If we can figure out how to change those, we can basically write the book on what we want to be when we grow up.
You bet. Absolutely.
Sorry to take over that piece. I'm just really passionate.
No, I think we're on the same page. We agree a lot about that. I've written about that many times and spoken on it.
Mm-hmm.
A handful of times on belief systems. It's just so much. It's almost like the compass.
Yeah, absolutely.
That which guides us.
I think that's where I start. When anything is going wrong and not working in my life, it's like, well, what is it that I believe in? And can I change it to get a different outcome?
That's sure.
It's the first place that I start.
Sure.
So, what do you think the biggest mistake people make if, say they want to be a speaker, or say they want to be an author. What do you think the biggest mistake those folks, when they want to be a speaker or an author, what do you think the biggest mistake is for people starting out in that?
Well, I think just along the same lines of what we're talking about is the ability to, or not the ability, I'm sorry, the belief
mm-hmm.
that are you good enough to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you worthy of doing it? I have had a multitude of people that have come to me and said, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. I'm like, well, why didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. And what that really means is you don't believe you're good enough to. Because if you truly believed you were good enough to and you truly believed that you had a message that was powerful, impactful, and could reach people, and you were worth it,
mm-hmm.
you'd have done it. Or you'd have figured out a way to
yeah,
do it.
Absolutely.
Right? I've had other people as well, you know, friends that have said, you know, that motivational speaking stuff you do, that'd be kind of cool. I think I'd like to try that. But yet when we dive in a little bit further, they're not willing to take the step. But why aren't they willing to take a step? Well, maybe, you know, lack of self-confidence. Maybe it's the courage. Maybe, again, it's that self-imposed outright. It's Sid telling him, yeah, but seriously, Brad, do you think you've got a message that somebody wants to listen to? And here's the deal. I've had to fight that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no different than anybody else. I had to fight that as well. The difference was, is that I had, like you said, I changed my environment. And I realized, I came to a point to realize that, you know what, I do have a message.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It can change people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And people do need to hear it, because there are folks that the way that I write and the way that I speak in my style, I may be the only one that can reach them.
Yeah.
A Jack Canfield can't reach them. A Larry Winger can't reach them. Bob Proctor, Paul Martinelli, they can't reach them.
Mm-hmm.
But my style can.
Mm-hmm.
And once I believed that, everything changed for me. Everything changed for me. Now I felt obligated.
Yeah.
Now I felt like, oh my gosh, this is my duty. I mean, I need to do this. I've got a story that mm-hmm. needs to be told, because I know it will touch other people, it will bless other people, and it will help other people to get through. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I hope that answers
your
question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the next question I was going to ask is, where should they start? But that perfectly segues into that, saying that you should start with your beliefs. Like, if you really want to do something, check yourself and say, you know, do I believe I can do it? And if you don't, you need to explore what that whole thing looks like.
And why can't you? If you don't think you can, why can't you? And I'm going to tell you, in fact, I'm writing in my blog right now, it's a three-part series, and it's on Sid,
mm-hmm.
Self-Imposed Doubt. So the just this second piece that I just finished, actually, yesterday, talks about that it's not, 9 times out of 10, it's nothing outwardly
mm-hmm.
that's stopping us. You can't sit here and blame it on the economy. You can't blame it on your spouse. You can't blame it on your busy schedule. You can't blame it on your kids. You can't blame it on your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it all comes back to you. And if you believe you have a message, if you believe you're good enough, and you believe it needs to be told, it will get done. You will figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's my own perception on it.
That's great. I agree. My favorite book is Why Things Go Wrong. And it's based on Edward Deming's philosophies of total quality management and Six Sigma and all that stuff. But he talks about there's really only two things you control: your behavior and the system. And if either one of them breaks down, it's your job to either fix your behavior or fix the system, right? I mean,
fantastic.
It's basically you have two choices, and just what you said fits right in line with that concept, and that's the book that I highlighted in my self-interview.
Right. Very good. Cool.
So, right now, what excites you coming up in the future?
What excites me? I, you know, just here in the last week, I've actually five different speaking opportunities have come my way,
mm-hmm.
Which I've landed three of them just in the last couple days. It's kind of exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love being in front of people and awaken people
mm-hmm.
and inspire people. But I had set a goal for myself that at the end of 2013, I set a goal for myself. And that was, I was going to do 40 speaking gigs by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's with already having a full-time job working for Visiting Angels.
Mm-hmm.
That's also being a dad to two daughters and being in the Alzheimer's 2014 walk.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like I didn't have anything else to do.
Just throw it right in there.
But it was a priority to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife about it, and I told my daughters, and I said, this is something that's big to me, because this is laying the foundation for a speaking business.
Mm-hmm.
And as of middle of June, I was halfway to my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to continue on that, because I know that come 2015, I'm going to have some paying gigs mm-hmm. on the books, which I'm really looking forward to, right? We don't want to work forever for free,
absolutely.
Right? But at the same time, you know, a lot of times as a speaker, you do have to kind of go out and till the dirt. You got to do things for free. And if you love speaking, this is going to sound a little arrogant, But it doesn't matter if you get paid or not.
Yeah.
Because if it's the thrill for you is waking people up and watching their light come on and know that you've reached them and touched them and moved them, and they're going to leave that day being a different person, buddy, there is nothing else like it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else like it. Now, again, I don't want to do it for free all my life, but I'm excited about what the end of 2014 and 15 has, because I'm reaching out to some bigger places and I'm upping my game as far as the speakers.
What's your ideal audience?
My ideal audience is a room full of broken people. A room full of let me pinpoint it.
So pretty much everybody. All right, I gotcha.
Here's the deal. There are a tremendous amount of people in our culture that, and when I say broken, I don't mean it as a slap in the face or disrespectful, but they've made a mess of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bad habits, bad choices, bad programming, bad belief systems have resulted in a life of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
They have a trail of carnage behind them that is 10 miles long. Broken relationships, broken marriages, broken relationships with their parents, with their kids. They can't hold a job. They're 50 years old and wondering, what in the heck? How come I can't get this together?
Mm-hmm.
And I love taking that person where they are,
mm-hmm.
and saying, come on, I know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The wheels have come off the wagon. Let's put the pieces together, put the wheels back on the wagon,
mm-hmm.
and let's send the wagon in a new direction with a new set of wheels, and let's see how this does for them. So it's the couples that have, you know, married, divorce,
mm-hmm.
Kids from multiple different marriages that they're estranged from.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't talked to parents in 20 years because, you know, my dad was an SOB, and, you know, he always had to be. I mean, it's the people that are broken that want to try and find some peace and figure out the missing pieces to life and get a quality of life again, find meaning, find fulfillment. Those are the folks I love talking to, because if they're ready, I can absolutely change their life.
Awesome. What's the favorite venue so far as the speaking events that you've had? What's the one where you just got off the stage and said, that was awesome?
You know, I probably, when I started this, Brad, I had... One thing I really felt strong inside was that, yes, I'm going to go speak, and we'll speak to groups and businesses and corporations and companies and managers and all those things, nonprofits. But the other side of it for me to give back for something that was on my heart was to reach out to churches and to share the message of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because my whole story, as I had mentioned in the beginning of this, you know, messed up life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Messed up kid, dysfunction, horrible things happened to me. I was able to forgive, let go, and move on. And Scripture makes it very, very clear that mm-hmm. we're to forgive and let go and move on. And my message, it's my testimony, if you will, it's my story.
Mm-hmm.
I just love standing in front of a group of folks who are there to hear a message on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to plant those seeds and give them something to think about on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool because it doesn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever really want it to pay, because then when they pay, you have to really, really perform, right?
And I can
be a little bit more of a funny person, a little bit more personable. I don't have to be this super speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But this coming Sunday, in fact, just hours before coming here, I was asked to speak at a church on Sunday. And I enjoy it. Because mm-hmm. I look out on the audience, and they're just average people that are looking for something a little bit more to bring the pieces of the puzzle together for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a rush for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love to listen to one of those speeches about forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah, you bet.
So switching gears just a little bit, we're going to go just as far as just more things that you use to inspire you. I have a couple here. I get a lot of inspiration from reading and books and other people's words, quotes.
Right.
And what do you think is the book or the piece of material that you've read, listened to, that has most inspired you?
You know, I 30 seconds before I answer that, I am a firm believer that we all are different stages and different seasons and different levels in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon what that level or season is, the right book will propel us to the next level, mm-hmm. to the next stage of the next season.
Yep.
There has been probably a dozen that have moved me through the course of my life from what I call the muck and the mire and the mm-hmm. the mud to propel me to where I am now. So I don't know that I have a favorite, but one person that probably that I have listened to on and off for 20 plus years is Wayne Dyer. I love his array of what he talks about when it comes to understanding yourself and mm-hmm. relationships and how to think.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Dyer is probably a big one. Another one that I've gotten a lot from is Jack Canfield,
mm-hmm.
Author Chicken Soup for the Soul. That's been a big one. And as well, I've gotten quite a bit out of the Bible, just the Bible itself. And the mm-hmm. reason that I have is because in simple form, you've got two different stories that are in the Bible, success stories and failure stories.
Mm-hmm.
These people chose to make these crappy decisions, and look what happened.
Yeah.
And the other side is these people went ahead and did what they were supposed to do, whether they did what their leaders told them to do or what God told them to do. And although they stepped out on faith and it wasn't easy, the reward was success.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those little stories mm-hmm. because they're a reminder that life is choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's not chance. It is choices. The choice how we react to something. What we choose to believe.
Yep.
Right? Life is choices. So I think those are probably in my top ongoing for quite some time.
Those are all great.
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot of Jack Canfield, the first author I've never heard of. So
Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, I've had to dig into his stuff.
He's got a handful of books. I've got a couple of his books in three or four different additional audio mm-hmm. audio books. But he gets deep. Now, his recent stuff, extremely deep, because he's been following spirituality
mm-hmm.
and self-improvement for a very long time.
So, I know for me, this is the case. When I started going down the self-improvement rabbit hole, if you will, there it does lead very closely to the spirituality of things.
You bet it does.
Because I think that the faith, whatever you believe as your faith is, I think that foundation there helps with all of the other decisions that we have to make. Did you find it the same way?
Absolutely, I did. Yeah, absolutely did. In fact, I was... Wayne Dyer, which a lot of people, and he is, but he's a spiritual teacher. I think that's what he would tell you about himself first. Mm-hmm. So he's not like a Dalai Lama or anything like that, but he's definitely a spiritual teacher. And long before I ever, I guess if you will, got my heart and my life right with God, I was listening to Wayne Dyer, mm-hmm. and he was talking about all these spiritual things mm-hmm. that I'd never heard before. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, there's more to this, right? There's more to it that I just didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would agree 100%. The spiritual rabbit hole, I love that, because you could go as deep as you want to go.
Absolutely. Yes. And it all comes down, and I have a wide spectrum of the spiritual. I love to learn about every religion, every belief about mm-hmm. faith. I have mine, and then I still love to learn about how other people form their beliefs and what they are,
sure.
because I think it helps me when I'm speaking with somebody or communicating with somebody. It helps me get into their point of view.
Makes you relatable.
Well. Yeah,
absolutely. You understand a little bit of what's very, very important to them,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of turn that on and enter into their realm and relate with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also that forgiveness, cross-spiritual thresholds is the common underlying theme. Mm-hmm. We have to let things go to move forward.
You bet.
And so,
agreed.
So, how about stuff you use in your job, your career, gadgets or online resources? What's your favorite one?
Well, the beginning of this year, I actually went and, like I said, I got serious about making this a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I dove into WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit, technology and I, Brad, I'm missing the DNA piece. it is a challenge for me.
Yeah.
And we live in a technical era mm-hmm. part of time. And so I although I can learn stuff, it does not come to me easy. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, but I hired somebody, built a website, and I sat down with them and they taught me with WordPress, you know, how you can change everything yourself. Mm-hmm. And it has, you can track people to visit, you can track people that are interested in things of what you talk about. Mm-hmm. WordPress has been a big one because it's opened my eyes to see, like, okay, there's some seriously cool online tools, and most of them don't cost much or are free.
Absolutely.
The other one that I really like, and I'm still learning, I admit, is LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You know, I joined LinkedIn, my gosh, I think it might have been 2009, mm-hmm. right, or 2008 maybe. But I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. You know, Facebook's, for the most part, pretty self-explanatory.
Yep.
You know, click a few buttons, turn on the notification, and boom, here you are, add a few pictures, and away you go. But it's much more social. It's not business so much.
Well, there's so many things in LinkedIn
yes.
that if you didn't read the terms and conditions of it,
yep.
they can get you in trouble.
Yes.
And then there's the certain culture of LinkedIn yep. that these things are taboo and these things are yep. okay, but you have to basically stumble yep. your way through it before yep. you can actually know.
Agreed. And it's a huge tool. If mm-hmm. it's used right, I believe it to be a pretty powerful tool. Mm-hmm. So I've followed some groups and I've joined up and reading some of what's going on, but it's a process. Mm-hmm. You know, my business, I should sit down and dedicate a day or dedicate a weekend to really learning it in and out because mm-hmm. it's a very, very powerful tool. So, and I need to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I just haven't done it yet, but it is a process.
Absolutely. That one other thing on your plate, right? Just to
oh gosh,
just to do one
yeah.
more thing.
Yeah, one more thing. Let's add that to the list.
Exactly. So the question I ask everybody, it's the last question. If you were a superhero, what would be your superpower?
I'm going to alter the answer just a little bit.
Okay.
Superhero. I love Iron Man. I love Iron Man. And here's why. It's the creativity side of it. Mm-hmm. I have a creative piece, hence which I'm able to write about so many different things and relate with so many different people. It's the creativity side of me.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that. That Iron Man suit, somebody had to really think about that.
Absolutely.
To be able to create that. And I love it. It's the creativity side of it. So, you know, I mean, the fact that it's, you know, bulletproof and super strong, I mean, that's cool, but it's the creativity side of it that I just love the Iron Man suit.
I think Iron Man's superpower was his intelligence, right?
He was extremely creative, and yeah, he thought at a very, very high level.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, Tony Stark, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, if somebody wanted to contact you about either speaking or just mm-hmm. your blog, or how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, a couple different ways, Brad. First off, you know, you can find my website is www.redefinedandrevitalized.com, all spelled out, redefinedandrevitalized.com. The other one is I do have a professional Facebook page that I'm on there frequently,
mm-hmm.
with quotes and signs and inspirational things. But that is, you find me on Facebook, Scott Stewart, author, speaker, and inspirationalist.
Okay.
You'll find me, Scott Stewart, you'll find my personal page, which is cool too.
Okay.
Connect with me, but author, speaker, and inspirationalist is my professional page.
Perfect.
Hit the like button and follow the conversation.
Sounds good. And I'll have all those links in the show notes on the blog. So if, you know, having problems finding it, just go there and click on the button.
Sweet.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time to let me interview you today.
Yeah.
I think it was a great interview, and you have a great day.
Thanks,
and everyone,
Brad.
Have a great and inspired day.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's Inspire Eugene podcast interview. We are committed to bringing you great content each and every week. Please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and spread the word by sharing our page on Facebook. Have an inspired day, and we will see you next time.